League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And Lance Zierlein's wandered in and was just telling us something off air that I wish we could do on air.
You're saying bad words.
No, I can clean it up. I can basically say a player in the draft got his agent got upset that I had something in a Sports Map article that mentioned that his player could fall because some scouts said
one in round Justin Reed taking just somebody is board on the board available player of best play probably the he was probably, I think in Rio scenario case best was, and that was I mean
as Rick got
yeah, they stole him where they got Justin Reed getting just I thought I'll say I will round at the third go wait they just they not to decide not they round second round up into this they'll trade for sure we thought trade it we didn't even they and obviously they this thing got out of it, who they got and who's in the tech start with a start
never well let's you know I'm right sometimes fall and guys it oh. happens it happens but all player good football it's a pretty I think you mean on them they have what they don't know look I'm like geez, my right that you're asking the draft during said me Texas agent second surely said the first second going still I see this I haven't heard anything like, my agent's like third onto the film
did he fall
something like field or off the female trust they didn't with him or the stuff character there was some
if somebody had taken Justin Reed in round one, I wouldn't. I don't think I would have scratched my head.
The Steelers would have taken him in one. No one would have said a word. So him going here. Now that I talked to a couple teams that thought he was overrated. So it could be that some you know nationally there's some groupthink that happens. And I'm not going to sit and act like you know when I put a grade on this. There's some guys who may copycat me because I'm watching tape on these guys. But what I saw, I liked, and I've watched a lot of Houston Texans, and I can tell you, he'll be the best safety that's played for the Texans other than, I mean, you know, Glover Quinn. Justin Reed is going to be the one that we remember for years because he'll be the best. I think he'll end up being the best stashed and grown Texan safety that we've seen in this organization. He's fast. He's got good size. He's highly intelligent. They say he's a true quarterback in the backfield. His brother's Eric Reed, you know, who's got NFL experience. He works hard, makes plays on the ball. Like, there's nothing not to like about him.
Eric Reed's a kneeler. Justin's not a kneeler, is he?
No, not that I know of. He won't be for the rookie contract, probably.
But a third-round contract? You better stand up.
That's what I'm saying. Hey.
Listen,
he knows where he's going.
Inmate number 36, you better stand up. tell us about Martinez Rankin. I honestly didn't know a lot about him coming into the draft. What did you see on him?
So Martinez Rankin played tackle for Mississippi State. He was solid. Solid prospect. You know, he's about a third round type player. He can play guard. I think he may move into guard or center at some point in his career. He has the flexibility to play in multiple positions. I think he'll get his first crack at playing probably right tackle, and if he can do that, then so be it. Maybe the Texans have an answer at right tackle. If he can't, he'll eventually move inside and I think be a starting guard for the Texans or maybe even a center down the road, so we'll see.
When they took him at pick 80 or whatever it was, did you think, I mean, Orlando Brown was still on the board kind of almost surprisingly?
It could have been a possibility, but, you know, Brown is a big, heavy guy. People are concerned a little bit about his future weight. They're concerned about his, you know, obviously his athletic ability is not good. And so I thought it was a possibility, but it makes sense that he'll be a right tackle only. That's all he can do. The Texans are kind of moving towards the trend of finding guys. One of the things they liked about Justin Reed is he can play either safety position, high or low. They want guys who have multiple position versatility. Zach Fultz, guard center. Senio Calamete has played guard, but he's also slid out to tackle before. That's what they're looking for. And so Orlando Brown's right tackle only. Rankins offers flexibility to play in multiple positions. And I think that's what won out. The next third round pick was, remind me who the
Jordan Akins.
Yeah, Jordan Akins. All right, I was
national
a little
champion.
Yeah, the national champs.
Ian Thomas was on the board. I thought that's the guy that would, like, Ian Thomas, I thought was the guy who was falling.
Yeah, I thought he made sense for the Texans there, but obviously He's a little heavy-footed. Like, he's not as quick as you want. I think he's got potential to be a good blocker. What they see in Akins, my guess, I believe they coached him at Senior Bowl.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so what they probably saw was something I saw on tape when I was watching tape during Senior Bowl. I got to go into the tape room, and he gets separation really well. Like, I think he's got a chance to be a pass catcher who can get open. The question is, you know, one team told me he was off their board for – they thought he was a low-character guy. They called him kind of a fraud, and I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know the guy personally. I don't know any backstory issues with him, but I know he was off of one team. There was a couple teams that weren't real crazy about him. Texans got to know him a little bit at Senior Bowl, so obviously they think they know him better, and they obviously think he'll be able to block a little bit, I think. So we'll see how that works out with him. But I didn't have as big a grade on him, even though I do see some of the athletic ability.
Yeah, and another one of those older guys. I mean, played baseball, so he's, what, 26?
Yeah, is he that old?
Yeah, I think
holy crap.
Yeah, I think he'll be 26. I could be wrong about that, but
he is.
No,
26.
He did. Yeah, I was thinking 24, but he's 26.
He played in the Rangers organization.
You better be wearing out those 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds if you're 25. Yeah, I'm playing. Yeah.
What about the receiver from Tech that they got in the fourth round?
Kiki Kuti, I like him. He's got great quickness out of the slot. Basically, they're saying bye bye, Braxton.
I was going to say, because to me, like when they made that pick, I said, well, this is probably day one, their kick returner now.
Yeah.
And if he can unseat Braxton Miller or Bruce Ellington or one of those jokers, then great. But if not, then he's their kick returner.
Well,
I think Braxton
Miller is going to have a hard. Oh, yeah. No, I think he's a legit receiver. He gets open now. He's hard to guard out of the slot. He's got blazing speed down the field. To me, this is a Braxton Miller pick. You're basically saying you're on notice, Braxton. So you and, you know, in all likelihood, Braxton Miller, they're not going to have three guys to play the same position. So either Ellington or Miller are going to get one of those jobs, and the other one's going to be gone.
Were any of the late round guys that they took worth? Are they
running by me again? I've had a million prospects in my head.
They had. Where's their Duke Ejiofor from Wake Forest?
Could be a tremendous value.
Okay,
he has a shoulder issue. I think he would have been a third round pick if not for the shoulder issue. They got him in the sixth. He is a physical, tough guy. When they moved him down inside to defensive tackle, people had a really hard time blocking him. It'll be interesting to see how the Texans use him, because I don't think he's a real true edge rusher, but he's got a lot of moves. His hands are really good. Like, he's kind of an advanced pass rusher. He just doesn't have great athletic ability and explosiveness.
Jordan Thomas, the tight end from Mississippi State.
Did you see any highlights of him?
I've seen him, and like the first thing I thought when I saw him is maybe they're going to try to play him at right tackle. Like he's a good blocker.
He's a monster.
He's massive. He's like 6'5", 280.
He's 6'5". He's got a big ass. He's like he's a big frame dude. Like, he doesn't look like a – it was weird. It's almost like watching Pee Wee Sports. You know, you watch old highlights. Here's Vita Vea as a running back in high school or in Pee Wee League football. And you're looking like, this doesn't look right. It's the same thing with Jordan Thomas out there at wide receiver. Now, I think he's going to need to block on a different level to play in line, which is where I think they're going to try him. But they made a comment. I love reading the pre-draft and post-draft notes, because they will tell you stuff. Like, if you read between the lines, sometimes you don't even have to read between the lines. And they said, we had him in for a workout. We believe he's tough enough as a blocker that he has enough want to get there as a blocker.
It's funny, because I went and read all your write-ups on guys whenever they drafted him. So,
I didn't think he got after it as much as he should have. But I mentioned that I thought he'd be a tight end, I think. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that. I mean, at 270 pounds.
Yeah.
Peter Kalambayi, the linebacker from Stanford.
Talented athlete.
He never did anything at Stanford,
You know what's
though.
Funny is, well, go look at his stats. His stats will be okay. You won't see a difference from his freshman to senior year. He never got better. When he was a freshman, I was like, man, this 34 is flashing big time. He's going to be a player. He never got any better than when he was a freshman.
Well, when I saw his combine numbers, I was like, oh, that's why he got drafted.
Yeah, he's a dude.
He looks like he can do something if he can figure out how to play football.
He's twitchy. He's explosive. He just is not very instinctive. And so I think the Texans look at him and they – now, see, I also – and I think I may have wrote this up. I think he could be a better pro player than he was a college player. If you figure out how to use him and kind of fine-tune what he's asked to do and let him do it – he is clearly a 3-4 edge defender. I think worst case scenario, he's a special teams guy for you who will be a solid backup. They could maybe try him at inside linebacker. I don't think he has the instincts to play it. I've never seen him play inside linebacker. But I think what they did is they drafted a guy who they said, okay, core special teamer. Because, you know, your special teams units are your backup players, especially linebacker, safety, wide receiver, running back. And I think he's a classic case of we need to get faster and more athletic on special teams, and we'll use him as a backup outside linebacker. And that's what I think he's there for, to be better on special teams.
And then their last pick is...
I don't know him. I didn't write
Jermaine
him.
Kelly.
Yeah, I
actually know Jermaine Kelly because 2-3 years ago, he was in the same backfield as Marcus Peters at Washington.
And, was he really?
Yeah, and he transferred to San Jose State. And I'd just kind of forgotten about him, but he played some nickel when Marcus Peters was there.
Oh, wow.
And I just know he's a big, physical, strong player.
Can run.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be like a great...
He wasn't even on my radar. Yeah. I didn't write him. I don't know him at all.
And he actually played pretty well. I want to say, was it this year that San Jose State played Texas?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
He had a couple highlights
game
in that
three,
game.
Game three, did he?
Yeah, so he's a... I mean...
Now, there's two guys I want to mention. Well, one for sure. There's a tackle who was undrafted named Jared Jones-Smith from Pitt. He's got over 36-inch arms, so he's got really long arms. He was a pretty highly regarded prospect who his freshman year got some starts. His sophomore year, he had an injury that was so bad, he like twisted his tibia, and it was putting pressure on his artery, and they almost had to just take his leg off the knee. He almost lost his leg on the field. And they were able to save it. He tore his knee up. He came back the next year, wasn't very good in 16. In 17 last year, I thought he had pretty good tape. He actually, if you get a chance, you can go to draftbreakdown.com. And if they have his game, if they have him as a prospect to watch, go watch him against North Carolina State and how he does against Kentavious Street and Bradley Chubb. That's what sold me on him being a potential future starter in the league. Now, I don't know his medicals. My guess is his medicals probably aren't great, and his athletic numbers aren't great, and he's not going to be a very good run blocker, but he's a good pass protector. And, you know, if you can protect and, you know, if you can be a pass protector with long arms, and if you could do a job against Bradley Chubb, man, you got a chance to play in the league. And he was an undrafted free. And you know, I said Greg Mance would be a good undrafted free for him, and he has been. Kai Fairbairn. I don't think he has the play it. I've seen him play. Never seen linebacker inside. But I think what they drafted is a guy who did, okay, who they said special team, core because you're a teamer. Special team backup, so you're back, special players. Linebacker, especially line, wide receiver, running back, receiver. And I think classic, I think he's a case of get fat. We need to get him more faster like on smart athletic team, special team. We'll use him, him as a backup, linebacker, outside line. That's what I think. And he think for to their veterans to be better teams, special teams.
And then the last pick. He transferred to San Jose State, and I kind of forgot about him, but he played the nickel.
And it had something, apparently the evidence backed him up, and they're like, no, case dismissed. Let's see, he had weed tests.
At the combine, he pissed at the combine,
and then he also had a credit card. He missed all this last year because he got, there's some kind of credit card fraud where they bought books. They bought books and then returned the books for cash. So he's had a lot of issues. John Dorsey, this is the same guy who drafted DeMarcus Robinson, who had some similar issues at Florida to Antonio Callaway, drafted him and Tyreek Hill in the exact same draft. So he's not afraid to take some chances. He took Dez Harrison as an undrafted free agent, another one who had the hot whiz going on at the combine. But Antonio Callaway basically is a first to early second round talent. And once you hit day three, John Dorsey's like, all bets are off. I'm trying to find a big time football player.
What do you think about
that? And he's bringing him on to a team with, I just want to point out, Josh Gordon also.
Right. What do you think? Those dudes definitely won't get high together. What do you think about Maurice Hurst going in the fifth round? I think it's funny that teams will be like, we're taking this guy off the board because he's got a weird EKG. Where it's like, oh, that guy, Joe Mixon knocked out his girlfriend. We'll take him round two.
It is a strange deal. Now, if you think a player, look, this is macabre. I'll say it on the air. I ask a team. I said, what's going on with Hurst after day two? Yeah, wasn't drafted, so it's before day three. And I just sent a text. What's going on with Hurst? Is it the medicals? And they said he could die on the field. Like, why would I want to say? Now, I don't know what they know, and maybe they were just being, you know, not facetious or glib, but maybe they were, that was hyperbole. But their whole comment was, we just are not going to take a player that we're not sure about his overall health condition and it's safe for him to play for. So I don't know what the deal was.
This isn't like a new heart thing. This is something he's dealt with his whole his whole life.
Yeah, from what and I just think there's some teams who just say, we just don't want that potential concern and potential issue on our team.
I think it's a great break for the Raiders.
Well, I mean, if he's healthy, the guy's a first or early second round talent.
Yeah. Now, one guy I knew wasn't going to go that high, but he was obviously a guy that people were keeping an eye on was Shaquem Griffin. And he actually fell a little bit further than I thought he would. But going to Seattle, where his brother's there, it just seems like a pretty perfect fit for him. What do you think? Do you think he can actually be a player in the NFL?
I think he can be. I think people have kind of overblown it a little bit because he's such a great story. Right. He's incredibly productive. He's a great story. You know, if you look at him as a prospect, he's not really a great body. You know, he's kind of a bad body guy from a standpoint of what teams typically look for in terms of weight displacement, how he's built. He ran a really fast 40, which is great. He's a little stiff in coverage, so he's not really a safety. You can't really play him in space as a true safety. He does have some issues tackling. I mean, he can be a little bit inconsistent as a tackler, so he's got to be very fine-tuned as a tackler. He has a hard time getting off of blocks because when he sustains, he just doesn't have the left arm to help him to grab and shed guys. So there's some natural issues he's going to have. He's found some workarounds. I think he could be a really good special teams player. It's just hard to bet against him because he's overcome so much in his life, and for the fact that guy with no hand to be drafted ever is just, it's really staggering if you think about it. And if you backtrack even more, he ran a 4.38. You backtrack even more, he was defensive player of the year in his conference.
Yeah.
So it's probably not smart to bet against him, but I thought fifth was a good round for him. I thought the Seahawks were a lock to draft him because a lot of teams, you know, the national narrative was, could he go in the first? He won't go any later than the third. And I was just thinking, teams are really worried about his deficiency, which is the lack of hand, if he can consistently perform. I felt like...
I mean, Fuller has no hands, and he's still in the league.
I know. Once he got past the fourth round, I thought, this is probably going to be a Seattle pick in the fifth, because his brother's there. But he is a great story, and there's a lot of people who are inspired by him. And he's one of the rare guys that there's a prospect conversation and there's a person conversation, and they can be had mutually exclusively. Like, you can love the person and the talent, but then there's a real conversation happening in NFL rooms about what can he do and what can't he do, and that's why he went in the fifth.
We did, I guess, for Sports Map, I wrote a story before the draft about three players I liked and three players I didn't like relative to what the buzz was on them. And the Falcons took two of the three players I liked in the first and second round. They took Calvin Ridley in the first, and then they took Isaiah Oliver, who I thought was going to go to either Atlanta or Seattle in the first round. They got him in the second round. Who do you think are the teams that had the best first couple days? Like, who?
I thought the Colts killed it in rounds 1 through 3. I thought Tampa Bay killed it in rounds 1 through 3. I've been working on this right now. I thought the Patriots did a really good job with getting Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, and Duke Dawson as their first three picks. I think Buffalo, you know, it will all depend on how Allen does, but getting Tremaine Edmonds with the 15th pick is a joke. I mean, this guy's going to be
he's very good, a
crusher. And he lasted all the way to the midpoint of the first round, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, I actually think the Tennessee Titans did a pretty good job of getting – They moved up twice, once to get – they found guys they coveted in Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry for big needs, linebacker and defensive end, and they moved up both times and got their players. Now, they didn't draft again until the fifth round, where they got Dane Cruikshank, who is a guy who will, you know, most likely just be a special teams ace, but a potential Pro Bowl special teams player, and then maybe a backup safety as well, and then – I can't remember. I thought Ozzie Newsome did a pretty good job with the Ravens.
Everybody on NFL Network was calling him Ozzie Smith.
Were they really?
Yeah, I think it was like three times he got called Ozzie Smith.
I know. So it was so Hayden Hurst, and then bumping back in for Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, is it going to be a home run or feeble ground out, one or the other? And then, but I thought he maneuvered around. I actually thought the Green Bay Packers did a pretty good job, too.
I think the trade that they made...
So smart.
I mean...
Look at it, it was a very smart move. They moved back and picked up an extra first, and they knew the entire time they'd already done their homework. People don't realize this. They had probably already called John Schneider, who it was rumored he wanted out a number 18 in the worst way. And so they knew when they moved back, they would have enough draft capital to move back up and still get their player, Jaire Alexander, and that's exactly what happened. They played the draft perfectly and got an extra first. And it cost them a third and a fifth to move back up.
I thought it was brilliant of them. And on the other side of that coin, I think the Saints, Davenport might be a good player, but I think using more than one first-round pick on someone who's not a quarterback
is crazy.
I
thought the Saints had one of the best drafts last year and one of the worst drafts this year.
What did you think of what Seattle did? Because when they said Rashad Penny, and they traded back. So if that's the guy they wanted, at least they traded back to get him. But
yeah.
I mean, that's the second running back off the board.
But a lot of teams had him a second. Everyone thinks Darius Geis was, but then when I talk to teams, I got a tweet from April 14th I put out there, like, the more I talk to teams, the more I began to realize they got it Penny, number two, and then they got it Chubb, three, and Michelle, four, three, and Chubb, four. Rid of some scouts. I had Geis, four or five.
Because I get he's like, all reports, at least from NFL Network, was – the guy's a knucklehead. Like he's got
Geis?
Yeah, he's got problems off the field that weren't really
just
reported.
Concerns about his maturity.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's a bad guy. There's some questions about maturity. I know he's got his family or friends and stuff. There's a concern about who he hangs around with. Although he's distanced himself. I mean, he's he lives with a different family. So this guy. Not the Blind Side. Oh, that was okay. Inside scoop. Saw it and I'm like, so I was Arnold was gonna go. The Jets hadn't even
never considered
the Jets didn't even
because the Jets always thought
the Jets they never
though, right?
I don't know. I thought he's a talented running back. That's all I know. He was number two on my board.
Michael Orr's white brother blocked me on Twitter. For criticizing Michael Orr.
Did he really?
Yeah, he got on my ass about something, and I tweeted back, and he just blocked me.
Hey, Lance, before we let you go,
that's hilarious.
The Texans basically cleaned out their scouting department.
Well, three of them.
Jimmy Ray, who was a guy who was a candidate for the job, I mean, three pretty big names there in terms of basically just Gaines going to bring in his own guys, and was waiting until after the draft.
Yeah, Rick guys are gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's
not unusual. That's not unusual. He'll have two or three guys that he wants to bring in. So that's actually not that unusual for a new GM to get rid of some scouts.
Were there any surprises to you as far as how the quarterbacks fell in this draft?
No, I'd heard that Baker was – I put that out there Monday. Yeah. That Baker was going to go one, and then I became sure of it.
Did the guy who DM'd you ever apologize?
Yeah, he said, I'll let you read it. Clearly I got some bad information from a guy who I thought was my friend. And I'm like, hey, I didn't answer him. I'm like, shut up.
So this that was guy, pretty awesome. Go on Lance's timeline. Yeah. You'll see a guy who DM'd him about how stupid he was for saying they were taking Baker Mayfield.
I know for a fact. And he just told me the real inside scoop. And like, it's after day one when Baker got picked is when I finally saw it. And I'm like, oh, this is too good to be true. But, so I wasn't sure if Darnold was going to go three because the Jets hadn't even really talked about Darnold. They never considered Darnold, and the Jets didn't even think.
Because the Jets always thought Baker Mayfield was going to be there.
The Jets never believed that Baker was going to be the first pick. They never thought
that's
it was.
That's who they wanted, though, right?
Supposedly Baker and Josh, but once Darnold was there, they said, this is too good to pass up, and they took Darnold because I guess he was number one on their board. I just don't know if they had a contingency plan where he was even available. Josh Allen going three wasn't a huge surprise. Lamar in the first. Josh Rosen sliding wasn't a huge surprise. I mean,
good
kinda,
spot for him, by the way.
I think so, but Larry Fitzgerald's about to be gone, and they've kind of cleared out all their wide receivers, but adding Christian Kirk was a really smart move in the second round. That's the kind of guy, a pro's pro, who they have a background? They played high school like 7-on-7 together or something like that. There's a picture of them playing youth football together in like high school 7-on-7 or something like that. So, yeah, they're friends.
When the Browns took Denzel Ward with the fourth pick, was it as head-scratching for you as it was everybody else?
Yeah.
Is it just because Chubb was still there? Or, I mean, is it really a massive reach for them to take that guy
forward? It's just because he's 5'10". Like, he's a small corner, and you look at their corners, and their corners are all small. So I just thought, man, I understand that he can go cover Antonio Brown,
right,
or Julian Edelman in the slot, you know, outside or inside. And Cleveland's thought was he's clearly the number one cornerback, and the drop after that is substantial. We really need a cornerback. So on their board, they just said we had to do it. I just look at it like this. You don't need great corners when you got a hellish pass rush. That's and true. If you had Bradley Chubb with Ogba and Myles Garrett, I mean, you can just severely threaten people like Seattle used to, where you don't have to cover very long.
I still think if you just keep Joe Hayden, you got the same guy who's already more established rather than cutting him last year.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.